Like I said, Christmas is right on the corner. And I don't know about you, but if you were to ask people what comes to their minds when they think about Christmas, you might hear things like a time together with family and friends. You know, for some people, that's what they think about when they think about Christmas. For other people, it might be lights and decorations. You know, for other will be generosity and goodwill toward men. For other people, might be lots of foods and goodies. Now, this man, I found this quote on Facebook, and I just thought, like, wow, this is interesting. Barbara Tolman actually posted it. And I researched who the man is, and he was one of the presidents of the Mormon Church. Now, I do not agree with Mormon theology, but the quote, I want to quote it for you. What he says is right on the money, and I agree with this. He said, Christmas is the spirit of giving without a thought of getting. It's happiness because we see joy in people. It's forgetting self and finding time for others. It's discarding the meaningless and stressing the true values. Thomas S. Monson. We know for us Christians, Christmas is the time in which we remember the Savior. The Savior was born. And yes, Jesus was not born December 25th. I know you knew that. But you know, it's like my birthday. I celebrated in November, but I wasn't born in November. So at least I have a day for my birthday. So, you know, I was born in the summer, but I celebrated in November 15. So Jesus' birthday was not really in December 25th, but thank God somebody came up with that idea. Let's make it about Jesus. Let's remember Jesus. And to me, if it is his birthday, let's make it about him. But you know, sometimes we get so distracted with everything. I mean, you hear people say, well, Christmas is not Christmas without the lights and decorations. And to me, that's sad. That all that you see in Christmas is the decorations. Like, you wouldn't have a good Christmas unless you have the decorations. So for Christians, I just want you to keep that focus that we are supposed to have to remember our Savior, that 2,000 years ago, God sent Jesus, the Son of God, was born. So this season comes once a year. It's almost like once a year we're reminded. I mean, you just got to go to the store and you see, the store tells you what's coming. After Christmas, you know, they're going to start putting Valentine's Day and everything. You know exactly what's coming. It's almost like they prepare you. So we are to be prepared also for the arrival of the Savior. It is my hope and prayer that you think about the main reason for Christmas, the main reason God sent you a Savior. Last week we talked about how the announcement of Christmas was given to Mary. Remember, the angel Gabriel came to Mary to announce that you will be with a child and you are to give him the name Jesus, and he will be great, you know. And so the angel announced the coming of the Messiah. And then angels, now in Luke chapter 2, we're going to be looking at the text, chapter 2, verses 8 through 21. An angel is going to come and announce the arrival of the Savior, the arrival of the Christ, the Messiah. If you have your Bibles with you, let's go to that text, Luke chapter 2. Usually this is also a text that families read with their children, just the Christmas story. The shepherds and, you know, the schools, they hold plays and things so that we're reminded of what happened that day 2,000 years ago. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. God sent an angel to announce the arrival of the Savior to lowly shepherds in the field. Now, that's one of the evidence that you see that Jesus was not born December 25th, because Luke tells that the shepherds were out in the field. They were actually living out in the fields. And usually in the winter, shepherds would not be out taking care of the sheep. That would be more spring or even around the fall, but not in the winter. But again, that's not the main purpose that we want. So Jesus is announced. The Savior is announced to shepherds. And notice, like, they were just taking care of their business, taking care of the sheep, and an angel showed up. Angel, the word angel means messenger. God is sending a message to you. So he said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord." Christ the Lord. Christ is the Greek translation for the word Messiah. So notice the angel said the birth of the Savior is good news of great joy for everyone. The angel told the shepherds that the Savior, the expected one, has been born. You know, during that time, all Jewish people were expecting a Messiah. They knew that eventually God was going to send a Savior, somebody who would be, for them, a conquering king, somebody who would be like King David, perhaps. That's the expectations that they had. And so imagine, that's going to be great news to hear that he's here. He has arrived. Then the angel said, "This will be a sign to you." Okay, I told you the Savior's here. This is how you find him. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Question: how many babies that day were in such condition? How many babies that day were lying in a manger because there was no room for the mother to give birth into a hospital or someplace in a manger? I mean, what such a condition for the Son of God to be born? Wouldn't you agree? I mean, in a manger, is a trough where animals, you put water or hay for animals to eat. And that's a little crib that the mother fixed for Jesus to be born. The angel said, you want to find this baby? You want to find the Savior? This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Like I said, a very unusual place for the Savior of the world to make his entrance into the world. News of great joy for all. You see, this news that the angel announced caused heavenly choir to praise God. Because suddenly with the angel appears a multitude of angels. I love the language there because they cannot count them. There's like a huge amount of angels praising God and saying, in excelsis, Theos. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. It's almost like heaven and earth collided just to praise God, because this, the announcement, the entrance of the Savior into the world. One angel announced it to the shepherd, and now multitude of angels, they're singing. Imagine the scene. Imagine how the shepherds felt. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This great news of great joy for all people, mobilize the shepherds. Look at the text. Verse 15, when the angels left him and went away to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the baby, just like the angel told them, lying in a manger. News of great joy for all people caused the shepherds to mobilize. You know, when somebody gives you, even when you listen to the news on the radio, you got two choices. You either pay attention to it or you ignore it. When you hear a sermon, you're either going to listen to it or you're just going to fall asleep and not pay attention to it. So the news, the shepherds are like, you know, let's go to Bethlehem and check this out. So this news caused the shepherds, like I said, it caused the heavenly choir to come down and praise God, but it caused the shepherds to mobilize and go to Bethlehem. So let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went. They went and found Mary and Joseph, and sure enough, the baby, just like the angel said, he's lying on a manger, and they found him. Then the shepherds, they spread the news of what they were told. Just like us, I mean, sometimes if the news is really great when you get a promotion, when you graduate for somebody, you cannot contain yourself. You share that because this, you want everyone to know. You post it on Facebook, hey, you know, you see a lot of people posting things that they're baking. This is great news because their family's gonna bake chocolate pecan pie or something. You know, we're excited about that. And you want to share, you want the whole world, the whole internet to know if it's really good news. Now, if you burn that pie, you wouldn't post it on Facebook, would you? Because it's not good news. But you know, it's good news. Like, they share what the angels told them. It says that the shepherds spread the news. What news? That to you a Savior is born in Bethlehem today. The Savior is here. He's Lord. He's the Lord. They went to check it out. They found him just like the angels told them. And now they spread the news. I love how Luke inserted this phrase right here. Like Mary, you know, place yourself, some of you ladies, your mother. You remember the angel told you a whole lot of information. We saw that last week. Now shepherd showed up to see your baby. Stranger showed up to see your baby. It's like you, I mean, smelly shepherds. Which wouldn't be too bad because they're already in a smelly place. So the shepherd showed up and look at what verse 18 said. Let me pick it up on verse 17. And when the shepherds saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. So they're spreading out the news. Verse 18. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But I love 19. He says, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. It's almost like all the information about this child that's supposed to be a king, now as a mother, it's like, wow. All the things. He's just a baby and people giving me so much information about the destiny of this child. She treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart, thinking about them. Imagine. And then the shepherds went home praising God. They worshiping God for what happened. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. It would have been nice to hear the story of the shepherds. If they would have written a book or, you know, imagine the stories they would tell their kids when they get home. Hey, you would not believe this, man. We were in the field and an angel showed up and, I mean, amazing. And we went to Bethlehem and we found a baby who will be the Messiah, the Savior. All the stories that they would tell. The birth of the Savior is good news for all people. The angel said, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring good news of great joy for all the people. For today in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. So the birth of a Savior is good news for all people. Not just the Jewish people, for all people in the whole world. And why? First of all, you need to understand, what is a Savior? A Savior, someone who rescues, or someone, you know, he saves you for some danger or destruction. He rescues you. It's one that brings salvation. A Savior is truly the hero in the story. You know, I love watching movies, and most of the movies that I love, action, there's always a hero that comes along and saves the day. You know, that's what a Savior is. For someone to become a Savior, there has to be a danger. There has to be a conflict, something from which you cannot save yourself. Perhaps you were swimming and you begin to drown and nobody can. Somebody throws you a lifeguard or you know, pulls you out of the water and he or she saves you. He's your hero. You got into a car accident and the car is catching on fire and you cannot open the door, but somebody just come and bust the windshields and get you out. That's saving you. Yeah. Somebody rescue you from the peril of the fire. That's what a Savior is. So for a Savior to be a Savior, there has to be a danger. There has to be a situation. So think with me about, okay, the Savior is here. But he's going to save us from what? might be the question. You see, my friends, you know, some situations are beyond our control. We get into situations that you and I cannot do anything. We are helpless and hopeless, and somebody else had to come and rescue us, deliver us from that harm, from that danger. Why a savior? Because you and I have a big problem. Maybe you didn't realize that. You and I have a conflict, a problem that you and I cannot solve. You and I cannot resolve it. There's a disease you and I cannot heal from. We don't have the cure for that disease. And you know what it is? It's called sin. Yeah. S-I-N. We have a sin problem in our society. That's disease, epidemic, you might call it, that you and I, for even as much as you like to try, you cannot get rid of. We cannot free ourselves from sin. It's in us. It's in our DNA already. You know why? Because all of us were born after the fall of man. After Genesis 3, you know, the fall of mankind, and you know, the even creation that, you know, we have all in the world, natural disasters, and you wonder why? Because we live in a fallen world, and we too are fallen. So because of sin, mankind decided a long time ago to go against God, and sin entered the world. Sin is disobedience. It's to go against God. So you wonder why our society is like it is, and you know, people, oh, it's this. No. You know what the root problem of every problem in the world is? The root problem is sin. And we, you and I, cannot cure ourselves. You can say today, you know, I will not go against God ever. Sorry, you won't be able to do it. Don't make that promise, because you won't be able to do it, because you cannot save yourself from the sin nature that we have. You want to know more? Yes, all it takes is a conversation. Well, someone to look bad at you, and sin just comes out. You're driving on the road, and you're going, I mean, you're minding your business, but somebody cuts you off, and that action that you get from within, you did not prepare for that, but it's in you because it's a sinful nature, and it only takes somebody just to push the wrong button, and you're swinging. It's the same nature that we have. And you and I, even when you say, like, why do I act like that? Why do I do this? You don't know. Because we have a sin problem in our society. We have a sin problem in us. We have lust and greed and murders and addictions. Sometimes you cannot stop, and you wonder, like, you know, I try. And my friends, you see why you need somebody to come and rescue you from this sinful nature that we have? Because you and I cannot free ourselves from sin, even if we tried. You and I are imprisoned to it, by it. We're born to the sinful world, and daily we feel the effect of sin in our lives. We become victims of sinful acts. Somebody steal something or kill somebody. You know, I mean, just because we're born in this world, we are going to be seeing sin all over the place, and we feel the effect daily. Sin has been affecting the world ever since we decided to go against God back in the Garden of Eden. Like I said, it's in us. Now, how are you and I going to cure ourselves from this epidemic of sin? Like, because it's in our nature already, in our DNA. You see, the Bible talks about that sin will make you, and the antagonist in that story, sin will make you enemy of God. The Bible says that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. There's no way that you and I can approach a holy God because we have a sinful nature. Even with our thoughts are not pure all the time. And thank God that only He knows what you and I are thinking right now. Because you know what I mean? It's like, I mean, even without you wanting, sometimes, like, I mean, you think nasty thoughts about that person because maybe you don't like her or him. And you know, Jesus said that's why you and I are going to need a Savior to intervene, because you and I are a mess. Truly a mess when you think about. You know, we are not as good as we think we are, people. We lie to one another. We don't like each other sometimes. And we get into this conflict, and you wonder, who's going to get me out of here? You know why we need a Savior to come and intervene? He will save, the Bible said, He will save His people from their sin and from the effect of it. Romans 5:10 talks about that sin will make you and I enemies of God. Now, that's dangerous, because instead of being friends with God, instead of being in good terms with God, we find ourselves at odds with God. We are enemies and deserving His wrath rather than His blessing. That's what sin does. You see, the Savior came to save us from our sin and from the effect of it. Hebrews 9:26 talks about, but now Jesus has appeared once and for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Jesus, the Savior, is born so that through His death, you and I can be reconciled with God. It's almost like Jesus is hanging on to you, hanging on to God, and say, now you guys don't have to be into a conflict. I came to rescue you from something that you cannot rescue yourself from. Jesus came to change our role that you and I play in that story. He came to rewrite the script of our lives if we let Him. He's the Savior. He said, I bring good news of great joy for all people, because today in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Savior, a rescuer, a deliverer has been born to you. One that will rescue you from things that you and I cannot rescue ourselves from. You see, Jesus sacrificed Himself to change your status. Instead of being enemies of God, now you're friends with God. Instead of being in the kingdom of darkness, He recalculated you and placed you in the kingdom of light. You know, you were heading toward death and destruction. Jesus came to bring you life. That's what the Savior does. He came to fix what's wrong with us, what's wrong with the world. And He's able right now to rewrite the script of your story. I don't know what you're going through right now. Maybe you are going through a mess. Maybe you're going through really a conflict that you believe there's no way that you can reconcile yourself with your friend, your brother. He came to show you that He can help you with that conflict. He can bring reconciliation, because that's who He is. He's the Savior of the universe. Problems that you and I get ourselves into and we don't know how we're going to resolve them, He can do it. And He's able to do it. We just got to let Him. As wonderful as Jesus is as a Savior, He can only save those who want to be saved. You know that there are so many people in the world that they think they don't need a Savior until they get into a situation that they realize, I'm hopeless. I don't know what to do. And that's where Jesus will come in. You know, just like the hero in the story, like, I almost like hear the music, like it's, you know, rescuing whatever needs to be rescued. And so, because you and I won't be able to do it. God loves you so much that He decided to send someone to clean up the sinful mess that you and I got ourselves into. The Savior came to rewrite your story. You see, the story from Genesis 3 began with destruction and death and animosity between ourselves, you know, animosity between us, even in nature. We don't understand. I mean, this danger, this, you know, so many things wrong in this world. It began a long time ago, and the Savior is coming now to fix that problem that only He can fix. John the Baptist introduced Jesus as the perfect Lamb of God, and this is what he said, who takes away the sins of the world. Only Jesus, only the blood of Jesus, His sacrifice, can make you pure before God. God cannot look at you, and He cannot look at me without Jesus, because He will see sinful people full of flaws and you know, deserving His wrath. But because of Jesus, He sees you holy, sanctified, justified, in other words, righteous. They're innocent, just because the Savior took our place to rescue us from the penalty of sin. The Bible says all who sin, the payment for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. You see why you and I need a Savior? He came to rewrite the script, to change your destiny. Because of Him, now we are heaven bound, redeemed and declared righteous, and also at peace with God. I don't know what you're going through in this life. You know, what people have done to you. You know, maybe you have tried hard to fix it and you cannot. Maybe there's good news for you. Maybe, what if you let Jesus try that situation? What if you let Jesus into that conflict, into that circumstance that you're going through right now? Because you cannot fix it yourself. Try Jesus. He'd be able to. That's what he does. You see, he can only save those who want to be saved. I remember 2006, there was a movie, the Superman movie, and the reporter had written an article saying the world does not need a Superman. You know, Superman, you know, you watch that movie from 2006, he went away and then he returned. And then he had a talk with a reporter who wrote the article, and then he said to her, so you wrote that the world doesn't need Superman, that the world does not need a savior. He said, but I hear people crying out every day for one. You know, there are people crying out for a savior, and those are the ones that will benefit from the savior. But there are people that they think they don't need to be saved because they're good. And, you know, until eventually they're going to realize you're going through something that you cannot rescue yourself from. And that's why you're going to need the intervention of a savior. Jesus can only save those who want them. He said, I came so that in me you may have life and life more abundantly. You see, God, as powerful as he is, he's not going to force himself into you like, let me rescue you. No. You don't want to be rescued. Too bad for you. But, you know, he's not going to just violate your free will. See, you heard the story of the man that there was a flood and he was, you know, and the water was rising. And he said, no, no, people came on a boat and said, get on the boat, get on the boat. And he said, no, no, leave. God's going to save me. You remember the story. God's going to save me. So the boat left and the water was rising to the point the man had to climb on the roof of his house. And here comes a chopper, helicopter, and lower the ladder. Say, climb aboard, climb aboard, climb aboard. Says, leave, leave. God's going to save me. God's going to save me. And then the story tells that the man actually drowned because he did not get on the boat and he did not climb on the helicopter. So when he's in heaven, supposedly, he asked God, Lord, you know, I've been serving you all this time. Why didn't you save me? And the Lord said, what are you talking about? I sent you a boat and a helicopter. What else do you want? You had to climb aboard. Yeah. The one that wanted to be saved, when somebody gives you the hand, you grab it. Yeah. You hang on to it. You know, that's how you're going to be saved. Jesus came to rescue you, but you had to grab hold of him. Grab onto him. And that that's what it means to believe in him, to make Jesus yours. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The news of a savior being born 2,000 years ago, truly my friend, is great news of great joy for all people. Because thank God that he looked at us, he looked at the mess that we get ourselves into, and he gave us a solution. He sent us the Savior so that we know exactly how we are to live and operate in this society. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live my life without the guidance of the Savior. Because I will mess up big. And you too. Thank God that he saw my needs and said, here's the Savior for you. So you don't have to live life by yourself. So that you don't have to just struggle by yourself. He came to rescue you and show you the way. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. My friends, as you celebrate Christmas this year, I know you're getting ready in the preparations. Please hear me out. Do not neglect the great news. As we celebrate Christmas, remember at least that many, many years ago, God loved you so much and he sent you the Savior, which many of us celebrate as we celebrate Christmas. So Merry Christmas to all of you, and just may God continue blessing you. He already has blessed us by giving us the greatest gift, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Would you pray with me?